If you'll take your Bible this morning, turn to Psalm 119. This week I was just praying and asking the Lord what He would have me to speak about, where He would have me to speak from. My heart's desire was just to, and still is just to exalt my Savior, Jesus Christ, this morning. Just to lift up the name of Jesus, because we're here to worship Him. Amen? That's why we've gathered together, right? And so I was thinking of numerous texts, numerous verses that are precious to me. I was thinking of Song of Solomon chapter 6, where it says, He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved and this is my friend. What a precious text that is when you think upon it, right? He is altogether lovely. Speaking of Jesus, this is my beloved, this is my friend. I am His and He is mine. I was thinking over to 1 Peter chapter 2, where you know, the Bible tells us, taste and see that the Lord is good. 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, unto you, therefore, who believe, He is precious. He is precious. Boy, you go from Scripture to Scripture, and verse after verse, there's so many portions of Scripture that just remind us and turn our heart back to look upon the Lord Jesus Christ in all that He is and all that He's done. But the Lord directed my heart to a portion of Scripture, actually to one verse in Psalm 119 and verse number 65. And I want to just speak this morning. Actually, I want to testify this morning. I want to preach this morning from Psalm 119 and verse 65, where David says this, Thou hast dealt well with Thy servant, O Lord, according unto Thy word. Thou hast dealt well with Thy servant, O Lord, according to Thy word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You this morning for Thy word, Lord. We know that You are altogether lovely. Lord, we know that to every one of us that believes on the name of Jesus, You are precious. Lord, one day we'll look upon Your face, and Lord, I long for that day where I'll not read the words of Jesus Christ. Lord, but I long for that day where my ears will hear. The very voice of my Savior in all His glory. Lord, I long for that day where I'll stand before Thy throne and see the brightness of Thy glory and Lord, in the presence of an innumerable company of angels, with all the saints of all the ages gathered around the throne, singing one song, Blessed art Thou, O Lord. For the Lamb has redeemed us from every nation, every kindred, every people, by Thy precious blood, Lord. Lord, this morning we want to lift up our voice and our hearts and just exalt You and praise You and thank You. Lord, I pray that You'd encourage some heart this morning. Strengthen someone's faith this morning. Through Thy word as we look upon Thee in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thou hast dealt well with Thy servant, O Lord, according unto Thy word. 41 years ago, I was a young man of 22 years of age. That winter, I was living in a upstairs of a farmhouse up in New Hampshire. I was saved as a young boy, but at 22 years of age, I had no purpose in my life. No direction, no path, no plan, nothing. Just aimlessly wandering. If I felt like doing this, I did that. If I felt like going here, I did that. I just... No direction, no purpose, no plan. I knew Jesus as my Savior. But apart from that, there was nothing. And I can remember one night, clear as if it was yesterday. I can remember one night sitting in the kitchen of this farmhouse where I was staying all by myself. And I can remember opening up the Bible. There was no TV. The only radio station, I can remember the only radio station I got was the Weather Channel up on Mount Washington. And that's very boring. Snow, snow, cold, cold, snow, snow, cold, cold. But I remember that night opening up the Bible and beginning to read it as a young man at 22 years of age. And I'll tell you this, I remember that the love of God just flooded my heart that night. And I woke up the next morning and I was just filled with joy. And I remember that morning, just with my Bible all alone, 25 degrees below zero outside, but I tell you, it was about 78 degrees inside. And I can just remember saying to the Lord, Lord, I don't have anything to offer but me. And here I am. I don't seek anything. I don't want anything. I just, Lord, here I am. That was 41 years ago, not today, but 41 years ago around this time. And I'll tell you this, for 41 years, this verse has been true. All the way and every day, I can say this, Thou hast dealt well with Thy servant, O Lord, according to Thy word. Does that mean every day has been smooth and easy? No. But the truth is this, and he has dealt well with his servant all the way, every day. Your heart this morning might not be at a point where you can say that. Maybe you're going through something this morning. You say, really? Are you sure? I know this, you stick with the Lord Jesus Christ. You stay faithful to Him. And maybe you're a young couple. Maybe you're a young person. Maybe you're an individual. Maybe you're going through something. So many people are struggling. So many people are just discouraging. All these things. But if you stay true to the Lord Jesus Christ, there'll come a day where you'll be able to stand up and you'll look back. And you'll see, you know what? All the way, every day, the Lord has dealt with me well. You know, one day we're going to stand on those streets of gold. One day we're going to stand around the throne. And you know what? We will say that. When we get to glory, we look back, I don't know. I don't know all the details of heaven. Don't get me wrong. Some of them might say, are we really going to stand on the streets of gold? I don't know about you, but my Bible says there's streets of gold. And I know the blood has redeemed me. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going. I know I'm going to be there. So guess what? You want to choose another street? That's your business. But I know what street I want to stand on, right? But I know this, that when we get to glory, we're going to look back and say, every step of the way, the Lord has dealt well with me. He has dealt with me. You know, I can't encourage you enough. Listen, don't miss a service. These last number of weeks, Pastor Donnie's been preaching on Sunday nights. And I tell you what, the Bible says in John chapter 8, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I tell you, those messages he's been preaching that God has been giving to him, they've been stirring the heart of your pastor, and God's been dealing with me about some things in my life. And I can tell you this morning, I am absolutely free. I'm free like I've never been free. You know, back in the Old Testament, I'll get to the message in a minute here. Don't worry about it. Back in the Old Testament, Israel would have bond servants. And then every seventh year, they would set them free. And then when that person was allowed to go free, they would be sent out of the house. And not only were they allowed to go free, but they were blessed with provisions and all these things. And then that person had a choice. They could go free, But if they loved their master, and if they realized how good their master had been to them, they could turn and they say, you know what? I'm not going to go out free. I'm going to serve my master forever because I love him, because he's been so good to me. Years ago, Jesus Christ, my Savior, set me free from sin. And I tell you what, I gave him my life, and he has been so good to me. And this morning, if I might turn your attention to Psalm 119 and verse number 65, I want to give you three things and just encourage you this morning. Remind you this morning, or challenge you this morning, I don't know, whatever. From Psalm 119 and verse number 65. And my prayer is that every one of us will just be able to say today, thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. You see, the first thing I see in this verse, in verse number 65, is right there in the middle. O Lord, thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord. You know, many times we look and we say, well, life. No, not life. The Lord, my God, my Savior. You see, my Savior, my God, my Lord is the master of goodness. He is the master of goodness. We say that phrase, God is good, all the time, and all the time is God is good. But here, David is relating to every aspect of his life. And Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, my Savior, he is the master of goodness. Turn with me, if you will, to Exodus 33 and verse number 19. As Moses, there in the wilderness, would stand on Mount Sinai, and he would desire and ask the Lord that he would show him his glory. In chapter 33 and verse number 18, what a precious portion of scripture it is in Exodus 33 where Moses earlier says, you know, he says, the whole difference in my life is the very presence of God, in verses 13 down to verse number 16. He says, that makes all the difference, the presence of God, knowing that God is with me. But then in verse number 18, he says, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, or God said, the Lord said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Down in chapter 34, verse number 5, the Lord descended in the clouds and stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. Oh, Moses, when he asked to see the glory of God, the Lord said, I will show you all my goodness. That word in Psalm 119 and verse number 65, where it says, thou hast dealt well. That's the word that is translated sometimes in the Hebrew. It can mean goodness, kindness, graciousness, all that God is. Turn, if you will, please, to Psalm 107 and verse number 8. Psalm 107 and verse number 8. Throughout this psalm, as the psalmist would just rehearse all that God does and has done. May I say this, and continues to do. Psalm 107 and verse number 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For he is good. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. He is good. He is good. And then you come down to verse number 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and over again in Psalm 1, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul, filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Why? Because he is good. He is the master of goodness. I am his servant, and my master, the Lord Jesus Christ, is nothing but good. He is good. And you know what that means? That everything he does in my life is good. Because he is good. He can't do anything but good in my life. He is good. His goodness. Turn to Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9. Oh, what a beautiful chapter, Zechariah. And I know Zechariah chapter 9 is in the Old Testament. I know it's speaking to Israel. And don't get me, don't get nitpicky over this. But he's prophesying about Israel and how he's going to take care of Israel and what he's going to do for Israel. In verse number 16, and the Lord their, hurry up and get there. And the Lord their, only kidding. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people. I know it's speaking to Israel, but I tell you what, he tells me I'm one of his sheep. Amen. We're of his flock. Amen. I think the principle here we can take and just apply to ourselves. For they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon his land. For how great is his goodness and how great is his beauty. You understand what that's saying? He says, Israel, Israel, I'm taking care of you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm doing what I promised because I'm good. And he says to Israel, Israel is going to be a stone, a precious stone in the crown of God's goodness. Oh, my friend, hey, that's true for us. Our lives and the goodness of God in our lives are stones in the crown that just shine the beauty and the majesty and the greatness of the fact that he is good. You know, back over in the book of Romans chapter 2, in fact, the book of Romans chapter 2, one of the things that Paul says that really should stir hearts, even the hearts of the unsaved, and turn them to the Lord Jesus Christ, is the very goodness of God. Look at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. You see, the very goodness of God in our lives ought to stir our hearts up for him. In Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Paul says, you know, if you would just stop, even as a person that hasn't come to know Jesus Christ their Savior yet, if they would just stop and realize the goodness of God even to them, but how much more you and me? Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. If you turn there for a moment, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 7. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 7. That in the ages to come, hey, you know, that's speaking about our time. That's speaking about 2020. Paul's writing about the ages to come, right? He's writing about our lives, folks. He's writing about you and me in the future. That in the ages to come, he might show in my life, through his working, through my salvation, all that he's done before that, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know, mark it down in verse number 7. Paul's writing about you. He's writing about me. Hey, I'm in the Bible. Because you know what? I wasn't there when Paul wrote this. But Paul says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So when you go back to Psalm 119 and verse number 65, if I'm His servant, He's my master. And I tell you what, my master is good. My master is a master of goodness because He is good. He is perfect. He's holy. He's righteous. He knows the thoughts that He thinks toward us, as He says in Jeremiah. Not thoughts of evil, but thoughts of peace to bring about an expected end. So now I stand here as a 63-year-old man. Not 63-year-old man. All right? But that just hit me. Right? It's all about perspective, isn't it? Right? You can be 63, or you can be 63 years, or you can be a 63-year-old man. But no matter how you look at it, I can stand here today and tell you what. I know this. The one that I serve, my Master, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He is a master of goodness in my life. I was been studying this verse, and even yesterday I was sitting there, basketball game, watching Levi score his first basket of his career. Someday he plans to play for the Los Angeles Lakers. That's why he wears purple. But even yesterday, I'm just sitting there watching my grandson make a basket. And I'm thinking, boy, Lord, You're so good to me. You're so good to me. But you know what? Not only do we see the master of goodness in Psalm 119, verse 65, but it says, according unto Thy word. And you know what? This is His word. This is His manuscript. This is His book. This is His story. This is His word. This is His truth. This is His promise. And you know what it is? It's a manuscript of goodness. Because it's from the one who is altogether good. And in His goodness, He has given it to us. The Son of God has come and given us an understanding, John writes in 1 John chapter 5, that we may know Him that is true. We are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is a true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. But it's a manuscript of goodness. You know, over and over and over again, we read in this book, and we read, and every page you turn, it speaks of the goodness of God. It speaks of the goodness of the Lord to you. If you would, you know, in Galatians 2:20, you don't have to turn there. You know that verse. You want to start thinking about the goodness of the Lord towards you? Galatians 2:20, what did Paul say? I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And then he says this, He loved me, and He gave Himself for me. Oh, if you ever doubt the goodness of God in your day today, whatever you're going through, wherever you are in life, whatever your thoughts are this morning, if you have a question or doubt or fear or anything, go back to the cross. Go back to the cross of Calvary and look upon your Savior and say, how can I question the goodness of God? How can I question the goodness of my Savior? When He loved me and gave Himself everything. He didn't give a two-bit cup of change. He didn't give a used garment. He gave Himself for me because He loved me. Oh, turn over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Oh, it's a manuscript of goodness. It's a book that just reminds me of how good my Master is, how good my Savior is, how good my Lord is, how good the Son of God is, how good the King in all His glory is, how good He is to me. Matthew chapter 10. May I remind you of what the Lord says in Matthew chapter 10. Verse number 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. There's not a bird that falls to the ground that God does not see and care about. Think about that. And then it says this, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. You want to know the goodness of the Lord? Oh, this book tells you about how good He is. He loved you. He gave Himself for you. Psalm 139. His thoughts toward me are more than the sand on the seashore. How precious is the sum of them. Stop and think about how much He cares about you, how much He thinks about you. He never, ever, 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 every any moment of any day loses sight of you or forgets about you or forsakes you. Just go down the beach and look at the sand and start picking up the sand and let it drain through your fingers and try and count the grains of sand. And He says, more than the sand on the shore are my thoughts toward you. Wow. That's something that no one's counted, is it? Let them try and count. You know, they can't count the stars in the sky. And you look at the stars and then compare it with the grains of sand. His thoughts to me, how precious. And when I awake after a long night, a sleepless night, when I awake, He is still with me. He's still with me. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply every need, all your need, according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so number one, folks, He is the master of goodness. Number two, this is the manuscript of goodness. But I really want to get to point number three, the measure of His goodness. The measure of His goodness. Because here where it really hits. Well, God is good. The Lord is good. And this book speaks of His goodness. But I'll tell you what. My life testifies of His goodness. And so does yours. You see, it says this. It doesn't just say the Lord is good. Oh, there's verses that do. It doesn't just tell us all the wonders of His goodness and all the promises of His goodness. Here the psalmist says, Thou hast dealt well with Thy servant, O Lord, according to Thy truth. And the psalmist is saying, listen, I'll tell you why God is good. I'll tell you how I know God is good. I'll testify of how God is good. Because when I look at my life, when I go back in my life, and when I think of my life, yes, there are storms. Yes, there are troubles. Yes, there are trials. Yes, there are all those things. But every day and all the way, all I can say is, my God, my Lord has dealt well with me. Still well. Go to Psalm 40 for a moment. Psalm 40. You see, Psalm 40, if we would just think of Psalm 40. Oh, the Lord has dealt well with me. Psalm 40. Oh, you might be sitting there. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. You say, but, Pastor. And I say, yeah, but. You're saying, the Lord has dealt with me, but. Yes. I'm going to throw a curveball at you. Because you're thinking, but what about this? Oh, forget the what about that. Go to the real reality of the word, but. The Lord has dealt well with His servant, but I've been unfaithful to Him. He's dealt well with me.
I've displeased him. He still dealt well with me. I forgot about him. I've doubted him. I've disgraced him. I've denied him. I've grieved his spirit. And he has still dealt with me well every step of the way. Think about it. My life has not been perfect. I've doubted him so many times, questioned him so many times, cried out to him, "How long, O Lord, are you going to wait? Why don't you do something?" And yet in every time where I have failed him, every time where I have doubted him, every time where I feared him, every time, every step of the way, and every day, you know what he's done? He's dealt well with me. He's dealt well with me. You see, in Psalm 40, it says, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me. He heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay." Just stop right there. Have we forgotten what God did for us? Have we forgotten what our Savior did for us? My life, your life before Jesus saved me was a horrible pit of sin, stench, putrefying sores. Oh, just go to those Ten Commandments back in the book of Exodus, and you and I in our thoughts and the imaginations of our heart that were evil continually. Oh, we trespassed against every one of those in some way, shape, or form. The thoughts of my mind were evil. My feet would take me down a path that was trespassing against the Word of God. Take me to places where I ought not to have gone. My hands would do things and take grasp on things that they should not hold. My ears would hear things that they should not hear. My eyes would look upon things upon which they should not see. My mouth would say things it ought not to have said. A horrible pit. Miry clay. Yet he saved me. He brought me up out of that horrible pit. And good thing he did. Good thing he did, because that horrible pit, if God had not brought me out of that horrible pit, the bottom of that pit would have fallen out one day. And I would have dropped into death and hell and a lake of fire, where I'd experience the torments of hell, crying out like the man in Luke chapter 16 for just a drop of water to put on the tip of my tongue and cool these lips, crying out for mercy. But you know how good God was? All those days, all those months, all those years of that pit of sin, God was long-suffering. God was long-suffering. His long-suffering, and his mercy, and his grace kept that pit from having the bottom drop out, my soul cast into hell. Because God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should go to repentance. But it says, he lifted me up. He lifted me up. I didn't climb out of that pit. You didn't lift me up. I didn't lift you up. The hymn writer said, "Love lifted me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore." And what happened? That Savior Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary allowed his Father to put all my filthy sin on me. And he paid the price. And he bore all my iniquities on himself. And he paid with his precious blood. So that one day, as a young boy, he could reach down from that pit, middle of that pit, and he could pick that brand out of the fire. Pluck that brand out of the fire and reach down with a loving hand with the print of his nails and reach down and lift me up. Save my soul. He's good, isn't he?
But it doesn't stop there.
Listen, listen, listen. He lifted me out of that horrible pit. And then it says this. Then it says this. Here's a goodness of the master in your life. Oh, he's the master of goodness. Here's his manuscript of goodness. And he says, not only did I lift you up out of that miry pit, he says, I set your feet upon a rock.
Boy, I just withheld a shout right there. Boy, that was bubbling up in this heart.
He set my feet upon a rock. You know who that rock is?
None other but Jesus Christ. The solid rock. A sure rock. A steadfast rock.
He set my feet upon a rock. And Jesus said in the gospel, he said, you know what? You build your life upon this rock and the storms are going to come. And they have. The storms have come, but my feet are on that rock. And while I've wavered and while the wind has blown me, it hasn't blown that rock. Right? My feet are fastened upon that rock. Time hasn't eroded it. And the waves of the storms of life haven't smoothed it down one bit. That rock is solid because that rock is Jesus Christ. The waves have beaten, the storms have beat. And there's been times where in my life I've said, Lord, carest not that we perish? And he says, I'm the rock. Your feet are upon a rock. And guess what? That rock is still standing. That rock is still as sure as it was yesterday and the day before. My feet are still upon that rock. 41 years later, I can say this. Now, I've been through some trials. I've been through some struggles. I've been through some challenges. And the storms of life have tried to knock me off that rock. But 41 years later, that rock is still there. And I'm here to tell you that I'm fastened to that rock. It's the anchor of my soul. Woo! Sorry. That just had to come out. That's been bubbling up inside. He's my rock. Let Satan fight all he wants. Let the fears and doubts assail. It doesn't matter. My rock is sure. My rock is sure. I have a firm foundation in Jesus Christ. Wow. But it goes on. And he says, not only did I lift you up, not only did I set your feet upon a rock, he says, He, God, established my goings. He says, every day, you, hey, Pastor Peter, I'm not going to say any adjectives, adverbs, whatever. But you know what? He says, haven't you figured out this yet? He says, I establish your goings. You think you're trying to figure out your path and your steps? No, 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 no. I have established your goings. In other words, every day of my life, every day of my life, every place I've been, every place I've gone, God has had his hand upon it. He's been there before. He's been there. He's ahead of me. Listen, he's already ahead of me. I went and visited Ray Hoover yesterday. I got a text yesterday morning. Phone call from Ray, and he says, Pastor, pray for me. He said, I'm up at Hartford Hospital, and he says, I've got a blockage in my heart. It's okay. I went to the doctor, and it's the main artery that goes to the heart. They think they're doing tests this morning. So I went up to see him, and I said, Ray, it's my fault. He said, what do you mean it's my fault? I said, I got to tell you, brother, it's my fault you're here. He says, why? I says, because last night I was driving with my wife, and I had a man that I knew back in the 80s, a Christian man. He's now a member of Pastor Richmond's church, and a long time ago, but just a family that we knew from back in the 80s when we first moved to Connecticut. And just Friday night, Alice and I were talking, And we learned that he was in Hartford Hospital. And I said this to Allison. I said, you know what? I says, I'm going to go visit him. I says, I know the Lord's going to work it out. I says, when someone else is in Hartford Hospital, I'll go visit him. I says, Ray, I'm so sorry. And I said, I'm not really here to visit you. I'm here to visit someone else because of you. But you know, we look upon a heart problem and we say, well, why? God knows why. God hasn't dealt in an evil way with Ray Hoover. Ray Hoover, they were supposed to leave on Thursday to travel around the country on deputation. Guess what? God says, no, not yet, Ray. It's time for me to take care of you. In the process, it's time for Pastor Meter to visit someone who he said he was going to visit. He didn't get her. That's our goodness of our God, folks. Listen, he's established my goings. He's established my goings. 41 years ago, as a 22-year-old young man, didn't own anything, didn't have anything. I didn't have a plan in my life. I didn't have a purpose. I didn't have a girlfriend, didn't have a wife, didn't have a feeling. I had nothing, nothing, nothing at all. No direction, no purpose, aimless. No thought of anything. Apart from what am I doing today? And I stand here today, 41 years later, and I'll tell you this. Looking back, God has dealt well with me all along the way. Oh, he's directed my steps. He's protected me. He's provided for me. Just everything. These last few weeks, I tell you what, these Sunday night messages, I'm telling you, if you miss a church service, I just can't tell you. You miss. These last Sunday nights from after Christmas to right now, God has been refining the heart of your pastor. He's been dealing with things. He said, I'm not going to share the details. You're all wondering about the details. I'm not sharing the details. But I know this, the truth shall make you free. And there's been some things that God has just pricked my heart about and dealt with me in my heart, my old life. And I always thought they were all good. I thought these things were all. And I tell you what, I just said, Lord, here I am. Every one of those things, Lord, here they are. And I tell you what, the truth does set you free. Does make you free. And I know this morning I serve one person and one person only, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my master. He's established my goings. Has life been easy? No, of course not. But he's never failed me. He's never left me. Every storm he's brought me through safe to the other side that I can look back and praise his name. Everything he's done, I can look back and say, God has done it. And he has. And guess what? When Psalm 119, verse 65, my wife says, what are you preaching on? I says, she's in children's church. And I says, the time is short. Then I said, no, not really. I'm just looking at the watch and wondering what she's doing in children's church to keep them occupied. But it says, thou hast dealt well with thy servant. You know, the psalmist is looking from this moment in time, in his life. And he says, he is a master of goodness. His manuscript is all about his goodness. The measure of goodness, he has dealt well with his servant. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord. But you know what that leads me to? If he is goodness, if his word is all about his goodness to me, and I look back and see the measure of his goodness, that he has dealt well with me, all these days? Guess what? Exactly. He's not done yet. And I can look forward and say, you know what? No matter what takes place tomorrow, I'll be able to look back and say, he's still done well. You know, so many times we look at hymns, and there's hymns, and we're going to sing one in a moment. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. But you know, a lot of times we sing hymns like It Is Well With My Soul and other ones. And a lot of times those hymns are written from the depths of a person's heart as they have been brought through a tragedy. But you know what? All that thrills my soul is Jesus. Wasn't written after tragedy. It was written before tragedy. Tragedy when we think of it. It wasn't written after something had happened in the man's life. It was written before. It was written in a good time in the man's life. It was written when all things would go well. A year later, tragedy would hit his life. But before that, he says, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is everything to me. That's what Jesus wants to be, folks. He wants to be everything to you. He's the master of goodness. This is his manuscript of goodness. Every word of God is pure, precious. It's a manuscript of goodness. The measure of his goodness, everything he has done in your life has been well. God makes no mistakes. Thou hast done well. So how do I respond? How do I give thanks? Lord, you've been so good to me. How do I give thanks? I'll tell you how. The Bible says, with the fruit of your lips, giving thanks and praise unto his name. But more than that, it's by saying, Lord, you have been so good to me. You've done so well. Lord, I hold nothing back. Everything is yours. And when I mean everything, I mean everything. My thoughts, my life, my marriage, my home, my finances, everything. I don't know what you're holding on to this morning. I don't know whether it's big or small. I don't know whether it's in your mind, your heart, in your physical. I don't know. I don't know what you're holding on to this morning. But if you're holding on to anything, if you're holding on to anything, if you're gripping with your hand on anything, listen, let go. Just let go. Because you know what? God's going to continue to be good to you. You can trust him with everything, everything, everything. When you get to that place, when you get to that place where there's nothing that you're holding on to, you're free. You're free. And there's nothing in your life. You're not holding on to man's opinions about you. You're not holding on to your future. You're not holding on to your health. You're not holding on to your marriage. You're saying, Lord, it's all yours. Listen, the tighter you hold on to it, the more chained you're going to be to it. The more you let go, you just let go and say, listen, Lord, it's all yours. It's all yours. Everything is yours. You're free. But understand this. One day we're going to stand in the presence of God. And whether we say it verbally or not, the truth will be this. It will be said, thou hast done well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. You know, I think tonight we're just going to, before Pastor Donnie preaches a message tonight, we're just going to have a time of
just thanksgiving. You know, it's time to thank the Lord, folks. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. His goodness, His wonderful works to men. We're just going to sing hymns. I don't know who's leading the songs, but whoever it is, they're going to be songs of thanksgiving to the Lord. We're going to have a Thanksgiving offering. Just come, listen, give to the Lord. He's been good to you. Give your life to the Lord. Give your everything to the Lord. And then we're going to open up the Word of God and let our pastor preach to us. Amen. Hey, he's my pastor. I sit under the preaching and teaching of His Word and just eagerly just say, Lord, speak to me. And God does. But God is good. God is good. Can you say it this morning? The Lord has dealt well with me. The Lord has dealt with me. Let's pray.